Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents That Which Other Men Cannot Do, by Rick Brown. Narrated by Jeffrey Kafer. Chapter 1.
You're not wheeling me out in that thing.
But, Admiral...
Admiral Gagliardi's expression silenced his young assistant's objections. The Admiral straightened his suit jacket as he prepared to leave the hospital room he had occupied for months now.
A wheelchair says disabled,
the Admiral explained as he reached for his cane.
A cane says determination.
And what does losing one's balance and falling, all on global network coverage, say? His assistant wondered aloud. A disapproving glance was his assistant's reward.
You can be replaced, Acosta.
I'm only offering alternative points of view, Admiral.
Just get my bag, the Admiral replied.
He paused for a moment, considering the young man's words.
Perhaps you should walk on my left, he conceded, just in case.
Minutes later, Admiral Gagliardi and Mr. DaCosta stepped through the main doors of the rehabilitation facility and into the morning sunshine. The Admiral paused long enough to look around. Despite all efforts by the people of Geneva to repair the damage, it was still quite apparent that they had suffered greatly. He knew from images that had recently begun to flow after the global networks had been re-established just how bad the damage had been worldwide. By comparison, the people of Geneva had been fortunate. Unfortunately, the crowd was much smaller than he had hoped. He had not expected crowds of well-wishers, nor throngs of reporters clamoring to get a few comments from him. However, he had expected more than the two or three, somewhat disinterested junior reporters who were waiting to hear what he might have to say.
Admiral Gagliardi,
one of the reporters called out as he spotted the Admiral and his assistant. How are you feeling, sir? He asked as he moved into position, his camera operator right behind him.
I'm feeling very well, thank you, the Admiral replied.
Sir, the reporter followed quickly, not giving the other two reporters who were moving in behind him a chance to ask their own questions. How do you feel about the Alliance's policy of clearing all Jung forces within 20 light-years of Sol?
I think it's a dangerous tactic, considering the odds are in the Jung's favor.
Can you elaborate? The reporter continued.
It is believed that the Jung outnumber the Alliance by nearly 100-1.
Admiral Gagliardi explained as he made his way carefully down the steps toward his waiting vehicle.
If the Jung managed to coordinate even half those ships into a concentrated attack, Earth would not stand a chance.
But the stated purpose of the Jung Free Zone is to buy the Earth time to prepare for such an attack. If the Jung truly do outnumber us, then wouldn't that time be...
You don't prepare to defend yourself against an attack by superior forces by committing acts of aggression against said forces,
the Admiral insisted, interrupting the reporter.
Patrol and intercept inbound forces, yes. You can even destroy them if necessary, but going out and attacking forces just because they're within a certain distance from you?
The Admiral stopped at the open car door and turned back toward the reporters.
If you were the Jung, how would you react?
President Scott sat quietly behind his desk, watching the netcast of Admiral Gagliardi's release from the rehabilitation facility in Geneva.
Who is he kidding?
Mr. Pagny, one of the president's advisors, wondered. He knows as well as anyone that forces are best dealt with before they are en route for Sol.
But the public doesn't,
Miri commented.
But he does,
Mr. Pagny reminded them.
He doesn't care, President Scott muttered. He is just taking a side opposite that of the Alliance.
Do you think he's going to make a play to re-establish the Earth Defense Force? Miri wondered.
I don't think he'll take it that far, her father replied. After all that the Alliance has done for us, there's no way he'll get public support to leave it.
His claim that your son overstepped his authority when forming the Alliance could have some legitimacy to it, Mr. Pagny admitted.
An argument could be made.
In what court? President Scott wondered. We're still operating under martial law, remember? Disputes are being handled by local magistrates using common-sense justice, and there are no appeals, no higher-up courts in the chain in which to seek an overturn. There probably won't be for years.
The president sighed. No, he's just trying to get attention.
For what reason? Miri wondered.
I don't know, President Scott admitted. But I'm sure we'll find out soon enough.
Nathan peered out the window of the shuttle as it circled the field to turn into the wind before setting down. What had once been a Jung fighter base and a symbol of Jung dominance over the Tannen people had instead become a symbol of defiance against that very same empire. Tracks.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?